You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Forgot to get water, boys.
Let's get it, though. Let's get it, though.
I just want y'all to see one thing. This is what I want y'all to see. Not this. Not that. Y'all check this out. This is the state of Alabama football.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Can you even see it on the screen? This is the state of Alabama football today. This is what West Coast liberal Kalen DeBoer has allowed to seep into Tuscaloosa, Alabama. This is what he's allowed. Okay? And you go on the road to Tallahassee, Florida, as the number 8 team in the country. An unranked Florida State led by quarterback Tommy Castellanos. It's pretty much the worst ass whipping you can get, in my opinion. Now, what is going on here? I gotta cut the fucking AC. This is pissing me off. I mean, god damn. Every fucking breath I take, fucking coming in on my shit like that, boy. God damn. Sorry. I'm just on the edge because I feel like I feel like NIL is destroying the SEC in real time, and there's nothing we can do about it. I also just popped an 11 milligrams in again. I told myself I wouldn't do that. But I did it. I did it. I literally just threw it in. I might have to take it back out because I'm already feeling it. Also, we got to get some piss and vinegar about us, man. Look on the screen right here. These are football players, man. These are football players. And they say, oh, you know, people are rage baiting and all this stuff. I get it. Like, they're trying to get clicks or rage baiting. Somebody said, I think if you could read on the screen there, somebody said that they took that. I mean, I literally just threw this in my lip and I have to take it out because it's so stout. Call me a pussy if you want. Somebody said on this tweet, on that, there we go. Somebody said on this tweet that they took that after the game. That's not true. They didn't take this TikTok after the game. But the fact that they're doing it at all means that not just in the SEC, not just at Alabama, the whole college football landscape, you're going to have your guys that are different. You're going to have your guys that are still gritty. You're going to have your guy, get that shit off my screen. You're going to have that shit regardless. You're going to have guys painting their nails. We're going to get into it. We're going to get really deep. From the football side, look, I'm going to rant about how this next generation is soft, and I do believe that. They're soft as baby shit. And I'm right on the verge of that generation, and I thank God that he blessed me with a little bit of grit, a little bit of piss and vinegar, that he allowed me to go to college during a time where you could still get a little bit of CTE in practice. During a time where if you painted your nails, you got your head shoved in a toilet. A time where hazing was accepted. And yes, I believe hazing is a good thing if done the right way. Can you imagine hazing kids nowadays? We used to get hazed by our strength and conditioning coach. Great, and we hated it. We loved him, though. There's a way to do it. And if there's anything that's going to save this next generation, this TikTok generation, this tablet generation, this, say whatever you want, cancel culture, that's kind of in the past, isn't it? If there's anything that's going to save this generation, it's football. This generation of men. So, what happened on Saturday? Obviously, the headliner game, Alabama versus Florida State, really wasn't a headliner game. It was a middle of the day game. Texas, Ohio State, snooze. Clemson, LSU. Let me tell you what, I watched that one from the Skycast. I watched the Skycast of that game. No commentary, just stadium sounds and film. And let me tell you what a way to watch a football game. What a way to watch a football game. I had not watched the Skycast for some time. I'd forgotten how amazing it was. So, when you look at Alabama, let's take a look. Ty Simpson, stats, Florida State. Ty Simpson, 23 of 43 for 254 and two touchdown passes. Four rushing yards on nine carries. He was sacked three times. Alabama had no semblance of a run game. This is Alabama. Alabama had no run game. They couldn't stop. In fact, I'll bring this down before the show. Give me the box score. Tommy Castellanos, he only threw the ball 14 times. He had 60.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
This is Florida State's quarterback. Tommy Castellanos, 16 carries, 78 yards. Give me the rushing. In terms of rushing, if you look at Alabama, their leading rusher had 5 carries for 31 yards. That was Kevin Riley, who I believe isn't even their bell cow. Richard Young, number 9 for Alabama, 9 carries, 26 yards, average of 2.9 yards carry, 3 yards a carry. This dynasty as we know it is over. It's over. You got a rainy game in Tallahassee. I think it cleared up the last couple quarters. No semblance of grit found in this Alabama team. What did Coach Saban preach his whole time? Toughness. Responding to adversity. And we're dealing with this shit. This is what we're dealing with. Ryan Williams walked in to the stadium on Saturday with a stuffed animal. Check this out. Ryan Williams has got a stuffed animal walking into the stadium on Saturday. He's got his nails painted. Look, I get it, man. It's okay to be in touch with your feminine side. It's okay. But when you don't back it up on the field, there's something wrong. I watched Ryan Williams run a bubble screen or some kind of slant pattern. It was supposed to be a quick pass. And he wasn't even ready for it. He just bobbles it and lets it go. This is a real problem. And I don't know if Kalen DeBoer is going to last through September. These folks, and this is the thing about Alabama football. It's not Oregon State. It's not Washington. These people are going to riot if this is the product we see on Saturday. And I hope that Kalen DeBoer knows that. I hope that when they come in to practice today in Tuscaloosa, that Kalen DeBoer comes in and says, "Look, boys, I'm done with the shit. I know I'm different than Saban, but I'm done with this. We're going to be tough. We're going to be resilient. We're not taking TikToks in the motherfucking locker room anymore. Ryan Williams, take a goddamn quarter and grind that fucking paint off of your nails, boy. For real." There just doesn't seem, I mean, Manziel talked about this on Nightcap the other night. Whenever they went to play Alabama, there was a sense of fear. There was a degree of fear. And that's not there anymore. You don't have any guys out there on the field for Alabama that strike fear into opponents anymore. I did not see a single guy out there on that field that I thought, "Oh, that dude's a dog." Not a single one. Look at this. This is after the game. This is after the game. We got our buddy here fooling around, acting like he's a running back running off the field after Alabama gets their ass kicked. We really going to accept this? Now, the narrative, I think, is pretty funny. That I don't really... A lot of people are saying Kalen DeBoer is a West Coast liberal. Because he came over from Washington. And they say, this guy, he don't fit in here in Alabama. He's a West Coast liberal. He's going to have our kids cutting their dicks off preseason. Get him out of here! Look, I think painting your nails and bringing stuffed animals to the game and doing TikTok dances, it's all well and good if you go out on the football field and kick somebody's ass. But it's the opposite of that when you're doing all this stuff and you go out there and you lay an egg and you play sorry football. And more, I've seen a couple reps in the pros from guys that kind of just pull up when there's a play to be made. They kind of just pull up. I saw a play in the Notre Dame-Miami game. Let's see if we can. Look at this. Somebody said, what is wrong with the game now? Look at this. Could college football be cooked? I think you still got some tough kids out there. I think you still got some kids that were raised right, that were raised without a fucking iPad in their hands. But look at this. He's right there. And we're sitting there like this. We're scared. We're scared of contact. You know what this guy should have done? He should have buried the crown of his head into Seven's ribs. And he's...
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Standing there waiting for the ball. Kalen DeBoer came in, modernized the locker room, had players talk about their feelings, and brought that Pacific Coast liberal and ruined the football program. He needs some MAGA boys in there and some from the trenches. No they thems. Watch this clip. Seems weird seeing an Alabama linebacker get pushed around. I agree. What's this? I think that's a tight end, too, that did that. Yeah. Yeah, that's the sniffer. I mean, this is not the Alabama that Nick Saban created here. This is the play I was talking about. Look. That was a different one than I saw, actually. There was another... Jesus Christ! Look at this! And then he just falls down! Son. I'll tell you what, man. Cover of NCAA football. Say all you want. You know, and this kid, I will say, the last time that we really saw a game, an Alabama football game, where you see some kind of impact player, some semblance of a leader, somebody that stands out on the football field, it was Ryan Williams against Georgia last year in, I think it was September. Yeah, I think it was September. He balled out against Georgia. And that game, believe it or not, that game that Ryan Williams played against Georgia last year in Tuscaloosa might be the worst thing that could have ever happened to him. Because now you're seeing this. You're seeing a whole lot of this. And I think it's due to complacency. You've got a guy who's probably made his money. He's on the cover of College Football 26. He's, other than Jeremiah Smith, the guy that people knew going into this college football season. And Ryan Williams knew that. And he goes out and lays a fucking egg on Saturday. Last touchdown Ryan Williams scored was against Mercer last year. My conference foe, being that I'm a Samford Bulldog, Mercer was the last touchdown he scored. This is what we've known about Alabama for the last decade. Two decades even. They run the ball. 3 yards a carry on Saturday against Florida State does not tell that same story. Here's what we know about Alabama. They stop the run. They give up 78 rushing yards to the quarterback. And how many rushing yards did they give up? 56 on 3 carries to Mekahi Danzy. Look at this. We just had a freaking field day. One player had, let's tally this up. I mean, this is pretty, but Tommy Castellanos was the leading rusher for Florida State. 16 carries, 78 yards, 4.9 average, 1 touchdown. Mekahi Danzy, number 19 for Florida State. 3 carries, 56 yards, 18.7 average, 1 touchdown. God damn, these kids' names. Usman Chroma, 7 carries, 31 yards, 4.4 yards per carry. This is all Florida State players against Alabama. Gavin Sawchuk, 6 carries, 28 yards, 4.7 average. 1 touchdown. So that's four rushing touchdowns Alabama gave up. And then we got a kid named Keziah Holmes who scored a touchdown. 2 carries, 7 yards, 3.5 yard average. This is not the Alabama we know and love anymore. This is a completely different team, obviously, but in the bigger scale, a completely different program. Every time I pick up this cup, it's like a goddamn reverberation throughout the sound waves coming through my microphone, isn't it? And that's really my rant about Alabama today. This is a program we've respected for a long time. This is a program that other programs in college football have feared for some time. And it's just the nature of sports. It rotates. It's cyclical. We saw it happen with New England when Bill Belichick and Brady left. New England's no longer the powerhouse in the NFL. They might be coming back. Mike Vrabel's a great fit. We've talked about it a ton on this show ad nauseum. I'll save you guys. the boredom. Maybe not boredom, just don't want to be redundant. But sports, especially football programs, is very cyclical. And Alabama seems to be on their way out. I'm fixated on this. I know I should. I'm going to pivot to other topics here in a second. But just the softness, the lack of urgency. You know, Alabama's got a safety, number 18, I think his last name's Hubbard, white kid. Saw a clip of him, man. Just, yeah, here it is, if you guys see it on screen. Yeah. Look at 18. He's not sprinting at all. This is 18 on that first yard mark right there. Avoids contact and then jogs his way through the play. I think there are a couple kids for Alabama that if Saban was still there, would have been kicked off the team based on effort. Think about it, bro. It's just really sad. I mean, it's a sentimental, nostalgic thing for me having Alabama be one of the premier programs. And we haven't even talked about Gus Malzahn, who, after a pretty rough stint at University of Central Florida, took the offensive coordinator job with the Noles this offseason. He knows Alabama. He's played 13 career games against them. And he's won 6 of them. Tommy Castellanos said it. I read it in an article on Alabama.com this morning. He knows Alabama. And I think that's probably why Tommy Castellanos was so comfortable talking shit in June. Florida State's quarterback, Tommy Castellanos, he came to the press in June and he said, look, I'm going to ball against these dudes. They don't have Nick Saban to save them anymore. Said that in June. Goes out and backs it up. And everyone's like, oh, it's week one. You know, this isn't the top form of these teams yet. We're overreacting and all this stuff. Dude, you've been in camp. You've been in summer workouts for 2 or 3 months now. You've had all off season in a winter workout program. You go through this grueling, maybe it's not even grueling anymore with these kids. Maybe this Gen Z kids, they just cry whenever stuff gets hard and the coach says, oh, okay, we'll play tag for the rest of the period, okay? I don't know. But when I was in camp with my team, you're chomping at the bit to take someone to the ground. You're chomping at the bit to not pull up when you see that there's a play to be made, but you know you don't want to hurt your teammate in camp. You're chomping at the bit. You know, you got to, let's say I'm playing Mike Backer in camp. It's late July. And I see an under route. Maybe I'm playing Will. Maybe I'm playing the weak side. And I see a drag route coming into me, and the quarterback just throws him a hospital ball right there. And I'm there, boy. I'm about ready to pop somebody, boy. But I pull up because it's camp. I don't want to hurt my teammate. And as he runs by, I'm going, hur, 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 hur. Ooh, daddy. Ooh, daddy, if that was a game, I would have put you flat on your ass, boy. Knocked that ball out, forced a turnover. So you have rep after rep after rep like that in camp. Bullshit, you ain't ready week one. You ought to be chomping. You ought to be chomping. What do we have off-season workouts for? If every team couldn't have off-season workouts, and you just had to pick up and play week one, then maybe I'd understand. Then maybe I'd say, okay, these guys need a couple weeks to get unfurled, to get sorted out. But motherfucker, you had a whole winter off-season weight program where you're thinking about football. You had a summer workout period that's probably started in late June, early July, where you're grueling through the summer heat down in Alabama, lifting weights, thinking about how you're going to be ready for the season. And then you have a 4, 5, 6 week fall camp where you got the pads on and you're going out there every day and you're going hard, but you're not going game speed because you don't want to hurt your teammates. You're telling me that's week one. These kids, oh, just give them a couple weeks to get ready. Bullshit. Bullshit. Bullshit, dude. So here's the bottom line. Kalen DeBoer, 14 games at Alabama, 4 losses to unranked opponents. Stack that up to the GOAT. Stack that up against Nick Saban. Nick Saban had 4 unranked losses in his entire time at Alabama. So the problem here for Alabama is Kalen DeBoer's buyout is $70 million. He must have a hell of an agent. Kentucky's got the same problem with Mark Stoops. Mark Stoops at Kentucky should have been gone years ago. And his buyout's nowhere close to $70 million. But I know for a fact that the only reason Mark Stoops is still putting on a blue cap every Saturday is because of his buyout. These guys, I'm telling y'all, these guys must have David Mulugeta-level agents to negotiate these buyouts like they do. I don't know how the hell they do it, because you see program after program, athletic program after athletic program, football program after football program, in a terrible spot with a head coach that doesn't belong there because of some astronomical buyout. If it wasn't for that buyout, dude, I wouldn't have been surprised if Kalen DeBoer got fired this morning. The guy doesn't have aura. Somebody made fun of me the way I said that one time. Aura. How are you supposed to say aura? Aura farming? Kalen DeBoer just doesn't have that, you know? And he's got a $70 million buyout. Alabama is in deep shit. Maybe going back to the 2006-2007 Glenn Coffey days. That level of mid. You know, John Parker Wilson. That might be where we're headed to Alabama. And listen, I'm not hating, dude. I think when Alabama football is humming, college football is in a good place. I think the state of Alabama deserves a program like that because they don't have anything else. They got the Falcons. They got the Titans. But, dude, does that really mean much? No, it doesn't. So I feel for him, man.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I feel for him. It's a tough situation there in Alabama. Like I mentioned earlier, LSU-Clemson game, pretty fun to watch. Every time I looked up, seemed like LSU had the football. Just watching what I watched in the game, I slept through the first half. Just watching what I watched, it seemed like LSU dominated possession. Okay. Every time I looked up, it felt like they had the ball. You know, Cade Klubnik, quarterback for Clemson, he seemed like he came up short in big moments. They had a chance to go and tie the game up, and he threw a pick late in the game. That was his only pick of the game. Cade Klubnik for Clemson, 19 for 38, 230 yards, one pick. Garrett Nussmeier, a lot of folks in my circles were trying to say that Nussmeier, who is a preseason Heisman candidate, was overrated. He goes 28 for 38, 230 yards, and a touchdown. The guy that stood out to me most in this game that I think will be the tone setter for the LSU Tigers, and this might be a Captain Obvious statement, is Caden Durham, number 29 for LSU. He's a shorter back, probably deceptively stout the way he hits the he hits the line of scrimmage very confidently for a guy that isn't Derrick Henry optically. Okay, he has 17 carries for 74 yards and one touchdown, and I believe that he was instrumental for LSU in that second half, just grinding Clemson down, And the thing that I love about football in real life, as opposed to Madden, catch us playing Madden every day online right here, is that when you can run the football, when you can set the tone and go at your pace throughout the course of the game, you've got a massive advantage to go and win that football game. Obviously, turnovers are a big deal. Special teams plays are a big deal. But I really believe the difference maker in this LSU-Clemson game and the difference maker down the line is going to be number 29 for LSU, Caden Durham. I like the way he moves side to side as well. But other than that, you know, I watched the Skycast of that game. I mentioned it for briefly earlier. I watched the Skycast in that game. No commentary. Here's my take about commentary. It's very helpful to a beginner, maybe somebody who hasn't watched a lot of the sport. It gets to a certain point where I almost feel like commentary can start to cloud your perception of what's going on in the game. You know, my friend Sean O'Malley mentioned this when he was watching back a couple of his recent fights. He made sure and mentioned that he watched them without commentary. And it's like, oh, why without commentary? Because there's not some kind of dominant narrative that's maybe even registering subconsciously. If that makes sense. And so I was watching the Skycast. You get to hear the sounds in the stadium. You get to hear the PA announcer in the stadium without the commentary. You get music they're playing in the stadium. You get to actually hear the crowd. The Skycast, I could not recommend more. I wish they did it for every game. I wish they did it for NFL. No commentary, right? You're getting the instead of looking from the side at the game, you're looking from behind the offensive formation. Let me see if I can pull up and give you guys a little supplement here. SkyCast. SkyCast. I'll pay whatever the... Hold on. I'll show you guys what I'm working with here. I'll pay the NFL... I'll pay whatever the NFL wants to have that SkyCast view. No commentaries. You hear the crowd, and it's a better view. It's true. So they did it for the Texas... Ohio State. That's a different Texas Ohio State game. So you get, man, I can't see that shit. But it's a lot like this, right? So you get to see the actual formation. You can easily identify. It's much more of a player point of view. You feel like you're. At least when I was watching this angle, I felt like I was more of part of a game. And you get to see, oh, that's a five-man front. They're running two linebackers. But again, my favorite part of it, I think, is that you don't have the subconscious bias that a commentator gives you. In fact, if you want... This is something I like to do just based on the work that I do. Sometimes, and I'm outing myself here, sometimes I like to add my own commentary. Try my chops as an in-game analyst in real time. See what I can spit when the bullets are flying. But the SkyCast, every single game I'm able to watch from the SkyCast without commentary, from behind the offense, listen to the crowd noise, listen to the music going on in the stadium. You feel like you're there. You feel like you're more a part of it. So that was, frankly, my biggest takeaway from the LSU-Clemson game is that the SkyCast is fucking badass. It's absolutely badass. Okay. What else do we got? So we covered Alabama. We ran it about Alabama. We covered the LSU-Clemson game. Miami and Notre Dame squared off last night on a Sunday in Miami Gardens, Florida at Hard Rock Stadium. I imagine that they had that game on a Sunday because it's the week before the NFL starts and the Dolphins weren't using it. But also, it's a classic game, right? Cons versus Catholics. Notre Dame versus Miami. So that probably played a part in it, too. Again, I was like, why are they playing this on a Sunday? Okay, there's a lot of factors here. It's the opening game of the season. That's one. It's cons versus Catholics. That's another one. It's the week before the NFL starts. That's a third. But I woke up yesterday morning and I was like, why the fuck is there a game today? I was happy about it. I think South Carolina played yesterday as well. They got the win over a non-conference opponent who, frankly, I cannot remember right now. They played somebody. It was like someone from Illinois, maybe South Carolina football. Virginia Tech, sorry. How did I forget them? So Shane Beamer's dad is a legendary Virginia Tech coach. He's not coaching there anymore, but he spent a long time there. I think he got punched on accident one time on a sideline years ago, maybe decade plus ago. Let's see. Beamer punched. Maybe it's a different guy. Virginia Tech. This show, as you guys can tell, it is unedited. It is live. It is unfiltered. So every now and then you guys are going to hear a couple punches on my keyboard. No, I don't think. Anyway, Shane Beamer is the head coach of South Carolina. His dad was a legendary coach at Virginia Tech. And yesterday we saw his dad donning some South Carolina gear. I've always wanted to go to Virginia Tech for a football game solely because of Enter Sandman before the game. But let's get back on track here. The U played Notre Dame. Miami ends up squeaking out a three-point victory. I believe they had a 10-point lead, something like that, midway through the fourth quarter. Miami's offense goes dead. Notre Dame's offense came alive. Notre Dame's got a kid named C.J. Carr at the helm of their offense. And they came alive. They made a big play, went for, I think, they were down 7. They go for like a 57, 60-yard play. And then C.J. Carr, the quarterback, punches it in to tie it up. Miami ends up driving back down with low time. And Notre Dame had a chance, but they just ran out of time. They used up all their timeouts trying to stop the clock as Miami had the football. C.J. Carr for Notre Dame, 19 for 30, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns and 1 pick. Carson Beck looked really stellar. He looked, and stats aside, he had a great stat line, 20 for 31, 205 yards, 2 touchdown passes. Stat line aside, I think Carson Beck looked very comfortable back there. He looked very confident making his throws. His throws were pretty. They were tight spirals. He wasn't missing that many spots. And he looked poised. And he got a chance to show off his poise late in the game when it was tied 24 to 24. It was a fun one. I really enjoyed this game. I'm an SEC supremacist through and through. But this discussion has come up time and time again the last 48 hours. Is NIL going to be the death of the SEC? Some people think yes. It's going to create a lot of parity in college football. So much so that maybe we consolidate into 3 big conferences, 4 big conferences. Some people say, no, this is the greatest conference in the history of college football and will continue to be, and the SEC will adapt and overcome and continue to be the cream of the crop in college football. I'm somewhere in the middle. I think the name recognition of these programs will have power that stretches years into the future. But as we started the show, the same topic we started the show with, a program like Alabama's earned a lot of name recognition over the decades. Where did that get them on Saturday? Look, they've got Alabama, they've got offensive linemen that are 6'6", 340. And they're not blocking. They can't block anybody. It's not like Bama just stopped getting 4-star recruits. They just stopped getting 5-star recruits. They're still getting them. But where are they on the field? Where are they? Where are they? my mind started going toward Dark Knight where when I said, and where did that get him? I got my headphones on so I can hear everything here, like what you guys are hearing. Do that little Joker. And where did that get you? Tonight. We are tonight's entertainment. Sorry, this morning. We are this morning's entertainment. Oh, man. I don't know. I was kind of nervous about doing a live show. This is our... By the way, I didn't even intro us, dude. We're 47 minutes in. I didn't even intro this thing. We are now going to be live every morning, Monday through
Friday. Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Friday. Every morning we're going to be live talking about any rumblings in college and pro football that you can possibly think of. And you are beautiful. So, yeah, obviously a lot to talk about on this Monday morning. I'm excited for the pro season to start here in 6 days. And frankly, it's a lot easier for us, too, to not have to edit. I ain't got shit to hide. You know what I mean? It's nice not having to edit. It's nice getting the maybe a little bit more exposure on the show going live. We know that YouTube's algorithm prefers live content. Like I said, I've got all the comfort in the world hopping on here, shooting the shit with you guys. Couple technical things to figure out, but I feel like we're taking that in stride. Okay. So I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to be able to get the best news to you guys every day in a timely manner. Because obviously with a live video, YouTube just pops it right up there. So would love for folks to pop in and watch this thing live. But if you can't, we're still going to have the VODs on the channel, just like a normal podcast. We're still going to upload it, distribute it. The audio across platforms like Spotify, like you know, Amazon, whatever, wherever you get your podcasts audibly. And we're just going to try to make this as much like a Paul Feinbaum AM talk radio. Man, when this thing gets to a point, I'm thinking it'll be sooner than later. This thing gets to a point, maybe we could start taking live call-ins and talk to Jeff down in Prattville, Alabama, about how sorry this Crimson Tide program looks. I love how these Alabama folks or whoever it is doing this, creating this narrative. I love how they're making Kalen DeBoer out to be like a West Coast liberal. Just make anything political that we possibly can. He voted for Obama! Dude, the downfall of the Alabama dynasty is definitely Obama's fault, dude. You know, he back in 2000 and back in 2015, he plotted with Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky, to bring down this Alabama program. But they pushed it off to 2025 so that no one would notice. Yeah, we're here, baby. We're here. I'm trying to think what else. We covered Bama. We covered LSU. We covered the U. I'll say this, dude. Saw my old coach, and some people care about this, some people won't. Bama fans probably care about this. One of your greats at cornerback, Sam Shade, was our cornerback's coach at Samford University when I played there. And I had put this off for months, but I did not have a TV service. And I put it off literally until Saturday, the start of college football season, to get my TV service set up. And I got it set up, and I was flipping through any game I could feast my eyeballs on, whether it's Georgia State versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss beat the piss out of them. Marshall versus Georgia. Georgia beat the piss out of them. Hell, I watched Oregon State and Cal late in the evening. Turned it off real fast. I just, you know, I love football in any form, in any fashion. I feel like Pac-12 football just kind of violates what I love about it. But that's just me. Right, we watched the Southern California Trojans beat the hell out of somebody. I think they put up like 70 points. But the reason I bring all this up, I turn to the Alabama A&M versus Arkansas game in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And the first thing I see when I turned on the channel was my old cornerbacks coach, Sam Shade, running the Alabama A&M football program. And right when I flipped to the channel, they were doing the commentators. And this is the bright side of commentary. The commentators were doing like a brush up on him, showing his career stats when he played at Bama. And it was just really cool for me. It was really cool to, after all this time being out of the sport, being away from the sport, to see an old friend, an old mentor, an old coach, taking some of the limelight throughout the course of a football game. It was really cool, especially seeing him be the head man somewhere and playing against an SEC school like Arkansas. It was really cool. They started to fall behind, and, you know, I turned it off. And I was going somewhere with that, and I just kind of forgot. I kind of lost my sense of direction there. It's going to be something viral too, dude. Come on, dude. Yeah, I turned the AC off in this house because it's just, you know, it's Arizona. It's freaking 110 out. And that AC just hums, dude. It hums into this microphone. It's just, it's when I got the headphones on, it gets freaking annoying. So I just turn it off. I'd rather be, you know, I'm starting to break a sweat sitting here in this hoodie. When I started this show this morning, I had just gotten out of the cold plunge. So I said, all right, you know, let's hop into cold plunge. Let's get ready to have a good program. You know, get some sun in the eyeballs, a little sun on the tits, stand out in the backyard. I got some beautiful Bermuda grass. It's well watered. It's soft. Get some grounding. Get some sun in my eyeballs. Warm up a little bit, throw a hoodie on, come in here, set up the technicals, because I run this show on my own. I don't have any producers in here. I don't have any editors in here. Nothing of the sort. Even the shit you see on screen, I'm throwing it on there. So I got all that set up. We come live. We're here. We're almost at the culmination of our first week being a live program. My dog Jasper here. Come here. Come here. They want to see you. Son. All right, he's just going to sit down. Maybe you guys saw him. I can't see myself because it kind of throws me off. It's kind of unnatural, right, when you're on a Zoom call to be looking at yourself, right? You wouldn't be looking at yourself in a conversation. So I don't look at myself. But anyways, I'm really ADHD these last 15 minutes, huh? I'm trying to think what else. There was something else, man. Obviously, the Bengals signed Dalton Risner. That's going to be our new right guard. And probably the best offensive line Cincinnati has had since Joe Burrow was here. Very exciting. There's a couple of safeties out on the market, and I talked about this on my Madden stream yesterday. But if you look at the Bengals' final 53-man roster, okay, you got Geno Stone at safety. Ass. Okay. I need to load some sound bites into the pod track here. I'll do that before tomorrow. Have some like roast noise. But Geno Stone. Ass. Okay. Jordan Battle. Ass. Those are the starting two safeties for Cincinnati Bengals right now. Would those guys start anywhere else in the NFL? I highly doubt it. Maybe Jacksonville. If that. Okay. And so you got two safeties out on the marketplace right now. You got Justin Simmons. I believe it's Justin, or is it Jeffrey Simmons? I can't remember. There's a Simmons. I think Jeffrey Simmons is the Titans 3 technique, right? 5 technique. Good defensive lineman. Not him. Justin Simmons. I believe it's Justin Simmons. Veteran safety. Good on film. Adds a veteran presence to the safety room, which, in my opinion, might be one of the worst safety rooms in the NFL in Cincinnati, if not the worst. Okay? We talked about it on our very first live show on Friday. Jabril Peppers, cut from New England. Still has yet to be picked up. He actually sent out a tweet this morning saying, I have worked in every scheme and found a way to contribute to my team. Basically pleading to anyone who will listen, Jabril Peppers saying, I will add something to your team. And that's another veteran that's been in the league 8-9 years that can add some stoicism to this ailing safety room in Cincinnati. Okay, I think once we get this safety room tightened up in Cincinnati, we will have addressed every weak spot during the offseason. And love them or hate them, okay, this Cincinnati Bengals front office, we watched. Okay, love them or hate them, we watched. And objectively speaking, they got everything done. Other than the safeties. Okay? That's still to be determined. Boy, I'd have some blood flow down south if I found out we were signing one of these two guys. God forbid both. I would have full blood flow if we signed both and put Geno Stone and Jordan Battle where they belong. As reserve players. Why don't you take off your mask and show us all who you really are? I just realized we're at an hour. It's pretty cool. I don't know how these guys... I feel like we could do it if we really, really bust our ass. I don't know how these guys like McAfee, like Coach JB, go for 3 hours every day. Like I'm thinking an hour a day, every weekday. That's pretty reasonable for our show, especially during football season. Off season, we're gonna have to figure some shit out, you know. But yeah, I've got a lot of big visions for the show. Even if it's like a ticker floating down on the bottom screen. I want to make this as much like an AM radio show as possible. Like I mentioned, start doing call-ins, right? Maybe even conference people in for 20 minutes at a time. We've got friends in the NFL. We've got friends in the UFC. Just conference guys in like McAfee does for 20 minutes. This is the very beginning. We've been doing this show for almost a year and a half. We've been doing it a certain way. We're starting a different way of doing it. And I'm really excited for all the options that we're going to have at our disposal to bring the best type of football, mixed martial arts, stream of consciousness show that we can possibly bring to you. I'm trying to think, man. Yeah, as we get closer, I think the first NFL game is on Thursday night, no? I believe the defending champs always open the season. That's how it seemed the last couple of years. So I think the Eagles are playing first NFL game. And here's the thing, too, y'all. I don't seem too smart, but yeah, it's the Eagles versus the Cowboys. Ew. Thursday, September 4th. So we got that going in 3 days. But I'm going to be finding out a lot of things with you guys on this show. That's kind of what I like about it. Thursday, September 4th, 8:20 Eastern. It's going to be in Philly. So we'll get ready for that. I will see you guys tomorrow. If you're a first-time viewer, welcome to the channel. Hope you enjoyed. Look out for some clips later in the day today. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't so that you don't miss our live shows. And we're still going to be figuring out what time works best every morning to go live. I don't know the time, but I do know that we will be here every morning covering recent football happenings, analyzing film, talking a little shit, and just updating you on what I've got going on in my life every now and then. God forbid. But that's it for today, boys and girls. Hope you liked it. This has been a live rendition of In the Jar with me, Dupree, Dupe Doggity D. I had something else I was going to say. Yeah. If you got suggestions on things, look, we didn't get anybody in the chat today, but I'm sure we will. And obviously, as that arises, we'll interact with the chat. Maybe.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.